Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, I'm so glad I ran into you. I really need your help. I lost my turntable.
You lost your turntable? That's terrible. Where did you see it last?
It was right here underneath this album.
All right, Patrick, before we start today's conversation, I wanted to thank Mike Snyder, because Mike Snyder is a great friend, a great American, a great human being. And he came by my house the other day, you know, which is not an insignificant distance. It's probably about a half hour drive from his house or something like that here in Northern Virginia. And he came by just to drop off a bunch of beer for me. How about that?
He's a good man. He really is.
He's a beer connoisseur. He really knows his stuff. And he writes about beer for USAtoday.com. So check out his reporting there. And he gets all this stuff sent to him. And he just has great selection. And I guess maybe, I didn't know this was possible. I guess maybe he has too much, I guess. I don't know. is that a thing? I've never quite experienced that myself. But maybe that is true for some people. And he brought over like a selection, just a whole bunch of different stuff. And all this like crazy interesting things. So I'm just, for this episode, I'm going to hold this up to the camera. You can see it. But I'm going to enjoy a Mike Snyder provided Firestone chocolate cherry stout.
Oh,
how about that? Does that look good?
Yeah, absolutely. Firestone makes some good stuff.
All right. And I'm pouring it into a Rockin' the Suburbs
pint glass,
which, by the way, you can purchase these pint glasses. They are for sale.
Yes.
And they make a great holiday gift. Go to suburbspod.com and get your pint glass. There's also some shirts, and I think a few bottle openers are left.
Just a couple stickers.
Yeah. And then I think we're going to look at adding maybe a couple more things here in the, in the coming weeks. We got to get in on this for the holiday season. So for now,
that's right.
At least get the pint glass. I mean, the pint glass is classic, don't you think? Look at
it's
that.
It's totally classic, totally useful. It's a good price. Keep your beer nice and cold, your beverages. So definitely pick a couple up. And as you said, Jim, it's time to get in there on the holiday shopping. So
okay, this is tasty. Chocolate cherry stout.
Nice.
I like stouts. Are you a stout drinker?
I like stouts. I do.
Especially
this time
of year.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, wintertime, fall, they're great. Especially Firestone. That's an excellent brewer.
That's good stuff.
If it comes from Snyder, it's going to be interesting, if not always delicious.
That's right. Now, today, what we're going to talk about on this episode is, I believe you've brought this up once or twice in the past. So we're going to do an At the Movies episode.
And, yeah.
Do we have music for the movies? I don't know.
Maybe that's something we need to look into. Yeah. I mean, all movies have a good, you know, great movies have a good soundtrack.
I don't think we have music yet for the At the Movies segment. So,
so.
If anybody wants to supply that, send that our way. But we'll soldier on regardless. So, okay. So the way we've done these in the past is, you know, one of us sees a music-related movie. It doesn't necessarily have to be new. It'd be new to us. And then we just talk about it. That's pretty much the whole concept here. You saw this movie before I did, but I have now seen it as well. So at your urging, at your insistence, I finally sat down and watched it, I don't know, about a week or two ago, and I did really enjoy it. So what is the movie, Patrick?
Well, the movie is a movie that came out in 2018. It's called Blaze, and it essentially tells most of the story of the life of the musician Blaze Foley, who was a cult figure, I think at best, right, Jim? And he traveled in similar circles to Townes Van Zandt, who was a good friend of his, John Prine, Gurf Morley, people around Texas, Austin area, who were, you know, singer-songwriters kind of in that crowd. And he was a different personality, a different kind of person. And this movie is based on a book his longtime girlfriend and later wife, Sybil Rosen, wrote called Living in the Woods in a Tree. And the director, Ethan Hawke, worked with her to create the screenplay.
Yes. And this film came out in 2018. And I remember when it came out, I think is because we even played this. There was a, on the soundtrack, I heard a cover of the song Drunken Angel.
Right.
Which is a Lucinda Williams song about Blaze Foley. And then a couple of years ago, it was covered by Hooray for the Riff Raff, or just, maybe it's just under Linda Cigar. But that song, I remember hearing that. And then that led me to the movie. But I never got a chance to see it until recently. I watched one of the streaming services. And honestly, I did not really know much at all about Blaze Foley going into this movie. I knew just a little bit. Like, I knew he was like this cult figure held in high regard as a songwriter in particular, hung out with Townes Van Zandt, like you said. Like, I kind of knew the basic outline, but I did not have a great appreciation for his music. I hadn't really heard much of it. I didn't really know any of the details. So the thing I enjoyed about this movie is that, of course, you get all of that. And the actor here who plays Blaze, Ben Dickey, I just think as a viewer, you just get a great sense of this person, you know, what he was like, and you can totally see that sort of mad genius quality to him, you know, and you can see how he would become friends with or fall in with a bunch of other musicians, but not necessarily be able to take that to a broader audience, because I just don't think he was like capable of doing that sort of thing. And the movie sort of centers on this like one night of him playing in this like small, like kind of dive bar.
Right.
But then within that, that's just sort of the centering of the film. But then within that, you get like flashbacks and other scenes within the context of this that tell you sort of his life story. Right. But my point being that that one kind of like main scene that you see throughout the film really gives you a sense of like how difficult it was for him to relate as a performer to audiences, or have audiences relate to him, right?
Yeah, exactly. Very difficult, idiosyncratic. And it is interesting and true, as far as I understand, that that was the last night of his life. He recorded a live album that night and then later was shot and killed in a dispute where he was trying to protect a friend of his from his own son, apparently.
Right.
And I think there are two things that really appeal to me. And you hit on one of them, Jim, with the way the movie overlaps on itself, goes backwards, goes forward. And, you know, it goes back and spins the whole tale of the love and the romance between Blaze Foley and Sybil Rosen. And Ali Shalcott plays Sybil in the movie, and she does a wonderful job of portraying the supportive, sensitive kind of bohemian person herself, who is an actress. And in an interesting twist in the movie, Sybil Rosen, who wrote the book, who in real life was Blaze Foley's wife, she plays the mother in this movie. So that's actually her. And the other thing I think is so great about this is the way they used musicians, real musicians, to portray the characters. So it wasn't like you've got, you know, not that I have anything against a movie like Inside Llewyn Davis, right? But that's an actor who taught himself to play the guitar for the movie. It wasn't coming from that musician sensibility and sort of working on the acting. But, you know, Charlie Sexton has been a long time rock and roller guitar player, solo album, even was like a matinee idol type rock and roller at one point. He does a wonderful job of portraying Towns Van Zandt. And, you know, there's a lot of singing in the movie, and Towns sings a whole bunch of songs too. But the way Charlie Sexton is able to play and sing, I think really adds a lot of genuine credibility to the movie.
Oh, totally. That was fantastic. And the movie is, well, it's interesting because I mentioned sort of this one night sort of being a common thread throughout the movie. But the other like real kind of framing device, the way they can get all the exposition in, is there's a radio interview with Charlie Sexton as Towns Van Zandt, where he explains a lot of the background on who Blaze Foley was.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Country Roads on KYPC. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to have with us today Towns Van Zandt.
Thank you.
Oh, great to have you here. New record, No Deeper Blue.
That's right.
Terrific record. Love it.
Thank you.
Love the last song, Blaze's Blues.
Yeah.
I don't know. It says it's dedicated to Blaze Foley. I don't know who Blaze Foley is.
It's actually, it's Blaze Foley. It's a blues song. You should, you really should know who Blaze was.
Clay Pigeons?
Yeah.
If I Could Only Fly? William Merle covered. Yeah. Our Little Town?
You can't, so you can't do a show, any kind of show, without a blues song.
Wait, are those Blaze's songs?
You know Achy Breaky Heart?
Yes.
Yeah, no, he didn't write that.
I think that was pretty effective because they knew in making this film that most viewers would not know who this musician was. This is not like Bohemian Rhapsody, right? Where it's like everybody knows Freddie Mercury and, you know, pretty much knows.
Or Rocket Man or, you know, any
exactly.
of that. Yeah.
So you really do have to explain. There's got to be that certain amount of like exposition. And so in this way, it kind of serves as a way of being like narration without just hearing this disembodied voice, you know?
Yeah.
So
totally.
It worked pretty effectively. My only complaint might be that maybe there was a little bit too much of that, but it may have been needed. I don't know. But the other thing I thought was really effective about that is you saw Towns Van Zandt in this radio interview. Here's Shadow, by the way, if you hear any dog noises. You hear Towns Van Zandt in that radio interview. He's in a very lucid state, right? He has all his faculties in that interview, and he comes off as just very intelligent, well-spoken. But then when you see him in the scenes, you know, you see what he was kind of really like too.
Right.
And again, all credit to Charlie Sexton for being able to play that, because of course, Towns Van Zandt had, you know, his own demons and struggles with substances and things like that. And that
totally
came through in those scenes too. So, and he became sort of an enabling factor for Blaze Foley as well.
Absolutely.
As often happens in those cases.
Yeah. And there's a part where I guess Blaze is playing somewhere and these three guys who we don't want to give away too much if you haven't seen it, but there's some funny cameos, yes. Especially there's a great movie music tie-in with one of the characters who plays one of these oil men who suddenly want to start a record label. It's really clever, but there's a scene in there where they just show Blaze sort of having a chance, you know, to be on a label and get some backing and get some stuff done. And he ends up inviting towns and partying and, you know, just kind of throwing the whole thing away. You know, they don't go to the show. They just sit there and run up this massive bill at the hotel on alcohol.
That's right.
And whatever. And Towns sort of says, this is real life research we're doing here, man. You know, and they're just out of their mind.
So I thought it was great. I think, I know you kept recommending it. Like, you got to see this movie as this movie. Yeah. And it really was. I guess the only thing I just don't know is like, did I like it so much because I'm a music fan and I just really get into these stories, especially like this, where it's like, I feel like I'm learning something or I'm seeing, you know, someone portrayed who is just a very interesting character in that regard, you know, and maybe fills in some gap that I had in my knowledge, or does it appeal equally as well to somebody who is coming at it, maybe doesn't even know Towns Van Zandt, right? Doesn't really understand any of the scene. I don't know. I just found it really compelling. I do think it's a good sort of compelling, like, kind of character study, right? And again, to see that inner conflict between, you know, sort of like your creativity, your art versus dealing with all the other aspects of society, right? You know, and you know how difficult that could be for someone who maybe just sees the world a little bit differently than the average person, right?
Yeah. And that's a great observation. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking about too is I have treated this movie almost like an album where I've played it four or five times or, you know, maybe even more than that. And I sort of have it on and it's wonderful that way because of the way the story is told. It's not linear. You can float in and out of scenes. Like, you can leave the room for 15 minutes and come back and say, oh, this makes sense. You know, like, I know what's happening here. And that's interesting to me. I mean, I think it works really, really well on streaming when you're kind of in your own space and you can rewind or you can stop. Now, I don't know what you think, but I think if I went and sat down in a theater, you know, maybe in the middle of the afternoon, that might be a whole different, ask. Right. To be able to just see it once and walk out, because it's so tricky and so multi-layered that it, to me, it almost demands repeated, you know, a couple watchings to try to catch all the nuances.
That's a good point. And I think that this is kind of a really good movie to watch at home anyway, because I do think there's something about that kind of intimate setting of just watching it without other people around or without the big screen that might make it work better in some way. Like, I just watch it by myself, nobody else. My wife didn't watch it or anything late at night one night, drink in hand, I'm sure. And just,
there you go.
Took it in, and it felt, the movie feels so kind of like personal in some way that I think it maybe it works better in that setting. I don't know. The other thing too, and I'll give listeners one piece of advice too. You mentioned that you oftentimes do this anyway and may watch movies at home with like the subtitles on. And I do think there are points in this film where it can become a little bit difficult to understand what Ben Dickey as Blaze Foley is saying, because I think he's portraying the character accurately, but there's a lot of sort of mumbling that happens.
Absolutely.
And so you really do have to pay attention or, you know, I guess read it on the screen sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of scenes with a lot of crosstalk where, you know, two or three people are talking at the same time. They're at a party or a club or a show, and it's kind of, and the music's in the background too. And they really do a nice job of weaving the music in and out as well. But like you said, that performance is central. But as you can hear, folks, it's definitely a movie we'd recommend you check out, no matter your degree of knowledge of Towns Van Zandt or Blaze Foley. It, as Jim said, it's very interesting. Although, you know, it doesn't hurt to do a little research if you feel like it, if you get so motivated.
Excellent.
So
okay, cool.
And currently streaming on Netflix.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah,
get
I
couldn't
remember which one. Netflix. Yep. Go check that out. It's called Blaze. And you guys will enjoy it. Okay. Now, if anyone else would like to comment on this film or on Blaze Foley in general, how much recorded music did he actually put out? Not a lot, right?
Not a lot while he was alive. I mean, you know, several of the things were, you know, were posthumous, especially that live album, obviously, that I recorded at the end of his life, and several collections. And there was, I think, one album, maybe two, but that single that they portray in the movie was part of it, but they're not much.
Yeah.
There's quite a bit now. There's a pretty good haul over on the streaming. So
right, because people sort of collected some stuff that had been recorded and what have you.
That's right.
Later
and
on.
But he was probably better known for others recording his songs, especially Willie and Merle recorded, you know, a couple of the songs.
Right. All right. Let's get out of here. Here's Shadow. You can see.
Ah, there he is. Ah, Shadow. Take a seat. He looks comfortable there.
Hang out on the couch. That's his spot. Yeah. Okay, let's get out of here. I was going to mention if anybody wants to comment on Blaze Foley or this film. You can call, leave a message, 612-440-1984. Or send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com, or find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram @suburbspod. All right. And go to suburbspod.com and get those pint glasses, people.
Yeah, do it. Click on merch, and it's all there for you. And you can sign up for our newsletter.
All right. We never introduce ourselves at the top of the show, but it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Pat Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
I'm going down to the Greyhound station. Gonna get a ticket to ride. Gonna find that lady with two or three kids and sit down by her side. Ride till the sun comes up and down around me about two or three times. Smoking cigarettes in the last seat. Try to hide myself from the people I meet and get along with it all. Go down where people say y'all. Sing a song with a friend. Change the shape that I'm in. And get back in the game. Start playing again.
Achy Breaky Heart, you know that? He didn't write that.
No. That's right.